to our show, Hey You Know It, and I'm Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with
Katie Kasmir.
And this week we're going to be talking about the supernatural and or the paranormal. So supernatural, paranormal, Katie said that she's going to define.
Okay, now supernatural is any kind of phenomena that is understood to be outside of scientists' current ability to explain or measure by using the five senses.
Okay, so that's supernatural.
Science, you need scientific explanation or your five senses to explain.
To explain the supernatural?
Yeah.
Okay, what about the paranormal?
I don't know.
Okay, so I did some research on this because I wasn't sure about the difference between supernatural and paranormal. So I went online where all of the true information is about both supernatural and paranormal. And I came up with a couple of things here that are supernatural. So, for example, Satan, supernatural.
That's a given.
Yeah. Dianetics, Wicca, speaking in tongues. Chakras, Kabbalah, Yogini, Karma, these kind of things are supernatural. But in the paranormal area, we have anything that starts with psychic. So psychic detective.
Right.
We have dowsing.
I have possession, clairvoyance.
Ectoplasm from Ghostbusters.
Reincarnation, too.
Reincarnation, I think that could be both paranormal or supernatural. I mean, they're certainly both. But I think on a T-chart, we could put them on either side.
Right, we then got witches, cryptozoology, which is an animal that's possessed or is like a demoned animal or something.
Now, can you exorcise? The exorcism is on the supernatural part. And I know that you can exorcise an inanimate object as well as apparently a young white girl because there are a lot of movies about that. But what about animals? Do you think you can exorcise animals as well?
You could take them out for exercise. But
okay.
I think you just have to kill them
And
then burn them. I think in order to put any final banishing on anything, you got to burn it. That's what I keep coming up with.
Okay.
But not your house.
No, you shouldn't burn your house if it's haunted. You should, I don't know, what should you do if you have a haunted house? I guess the question is, and do you believe in the supernatural?
I think that if you don't understand something, you have to put some effort into finding an explanation for it, because it's easier to chalk something up to, it's supernatural.
I think Dick Cheney falls into this category, because I don't understand him, and I'm trying to do that.
Yeah, but if you start, anything you don't understand, if you start saying, well, it's supernatural, then that's going to be your point of view, and that's going to be your go-to thing, and it's going to become the filter that you make all your reasoning through. So, like this week, I was thinking about the paranormal so much.
Because of the paranormal?
And supernatural.
Okay. Now, what show was this?
No, I was thinking about it all week.
The movie?
No, I was just thinking about everything. Ghosts, shadow people, vampires. And I was scaring myself silly because everything that moved in my apartment, even if I moved it, I was like a ghost did it.
So you kind of got invaded by the concept of supernatural.
Right.
And it started to take over. I thought about the supernatural. Just by the way, we are not talking about the TV show Supernatural. Because when I Googled Supernatural, that's all that came up on the first three pages. Now, I've never seen the show. Apparently, it's been on for like 5 years. And so I went to the website to see what is it about. And it looks like it's about two rednecks who try to save the world. Now, as I was saying before, I don't know if they're rednecks, but they were wearing plaid shirts, which is usually the TV signifier for these people are blue collar and they're rednecks. So we're not talking about that show, Supernatural. I've never seen it. Yeah. It looks like crap. That's my professional opinion. Here's how I think the paranormal and the supernatural work. I think it's just people making stuff up. I think it's a lot of time, extra time that you have, and then you just try to come up with some really imaginative ways to explain things. So that's how I think it works. I mean, a lot of the stuff that I researched came up during the Victorian era. For example, trance writing. Mm. Which is where you fall into a trance and then you write some really bad prose from someone else.
Someone else is it. Like, I can write badly enough on my own.
But you really want to channel someone else's unpublished, poorly written manuscript, a loose narrative of some kind.
Why would you want to take dictation from anybody?
I don't know. Especially someone that you can't see.
Yeah.
And who's probably not giving you anything worth a... I mean, they didn't write it down.
Right, and they're probably bored, too.
Yeah, why 50 years later, when they're dead, they want to get something published? I think it's kind of ridiculous. So that's my feeling on the paranormal supernatural. And just for the record, I don't believe in anything. I don't even know if we're here.
I mean, how can you prove it?
Good luck.
Yeah. But there's something that I really wanted to clear up. It's about the UFOs and extraterrestrials.
Okay, so is that the supernatural or the paranormal part?
I don't think that we should really get hung up on
what, on nomenclature.
Yeah. Okay. Just something that falls within the realm of either. But this...
Paranatural.
Yeah, everyone seems to be thinking that UFOs and extraterrestrials are going to be taking over. They're here. They're in our rooms. They're, you know, doing all kinds of things.
They're in the Republican Party.
The film E.T., the iconic figure of the extraterrestrial that comes to town. Mm-hmm. It's a timeless story of friendship, apparently. And it's a story how we can learn to be friends with all kinds of people no matter what.
Which I don't believe.
Yeah.
I don't advocate that.
Now, everybody just kind of remembers the tone of the movie and the tone of the story.
I remember being freaked out by the E.T. looks kind of like a penis that's been uncircumcised. You know what I mean? There's just a lot of extra skin.
That's another point. It's too much. But everyone also forgets he was a botanist, and he probably wasn't a good one. Remember, he got off the ship, mm-hmm. and he's collecting plants. Now, if you're out collecting samples, you're not the CEO of the spaceship.
That's true.
You are an intern.
Yeah, you're kind of like on Star Trek, like the red shirt. You're probably not going to come back from checking out what that gaseous thing is talking to you.
All right. So then everyone gets spooked. They all leave him behind. They mm-hmm. leave the intern behind. And the kid, Elliot, I guess that was his name, Elliot, takes him into his house. Now we find out that E.T. can levitate objects. He can bring plants back to life, hotwire a speaking spell.
Okay.
To make a phone to call his ship.
Oh, that's right, the whole phone home business.
Yeah, but if he could do all that, why didn't he just stay in the spaceship and, like, suck in the plants with a laser? Why do you have to get out and actually physically pick them?
I'm thinking that E.T. was kind of like a house extraterrestrial. I mean, he was like a field extraterrestrial. He didn't have any value in their society at all. Mm-hmm. And that's why they sent him down. I bet you the real extraterrestrials don't even look like that. I doubt they were that short and that wrinkled. Yeah. You would think with all of that extraterrestrial know-how, they would have tighter skin, look a little younger. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and why was everybody crying in that movie?
Know.
Everybody was crying like they're watching Deborah Winger in Terms of Endearment say goodbye to her kids.
I kind of was like, screw E.T. as a kid. I wasn't really into it.
And that kid, he was just provincial and naive.
Yeah.
He was 10, but still.
What happened to him?
He invited that into his house. I'm sure that, you know, he had problems later on in life. But
they should have beat him.
They should what?
They should have beat him. That's what I would do if my kid let that into the house. I don't have a kid, by the way.
No.
Not personally.
No. And I don't either, so... So we have an email.
Oh, yeah. We got an email, and I said that we wouldn't say what the person's name was, but they did send us an email. I'll call them N2. That's a reference to what their email name was. So N2 emailed us and said that she wanted to, or he wanted to know, can Facebook profiles be used to detect narcissism? Yes. Thank you for writing in.
You didn't want to.
I want to say a bunch of things about that. I thought I answered the question, but go ahead.
What they're saying is that the article implied that some people were narcissists and some people were not. And could you pick out who the narcissists were by their photos and their postings?
Okay. And what do you think?
I think a couple of things. First off, having an account on Facebook makes you a narcissist. Period.
Yes. I have 3.
I'm not at all. I just have the Hey You Know It one, and that's it. But I have nothing else. And anyone who thinks that everybody wants to read about them cooking an egg is kind of a narcissist. But then there are people who really aren't narcissists, but they want to be in on the whole society. It's kind of like high school. You kind of dress the same in high school to fit in. You say the same thing. So everyone's on Facebook because they just want to be in the soup. They want to be in the mix.
So you're saying you have like the narcissists on there,
mm-hmm.
and then you have like the kids from the back of the bus.
Yeah.
They didn't have the real Benetton t-shirt. Yeah. It was just kind of like a weird cephalopod looking kind of icon.
Yes.
And Benetton, it was misspelled or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are kind of hangers on, kind of blowing smoke up the digital bottoms of the narcissists on Facebook.
Absolutely. I think that could be it. Also, Facebook could be the Antichrist. It could be the 666.
Really?
The mark of the beast.
So it's paranormal.
It can be paranormal, too, because it could be. We might find this out, because they said at the end of days,
everybody.
At the end, everybody who had their hand in the Bible or something.
Mm-hmm. Or who read a Bible.
Or believes in the end of days and the Antichrist. They say that the mark of the beast is you can't buy or sell or transact or do anything. You're an outsider if you don't have the mark of the beast, which probably is Facebook. Because I tell you, not being on Facebook, I get left out of things. Okay. People are surly towards me, Jaquetta.
No, I know.
Jaquetta, what is your favorite horseman of the apocalypse? There's the white, the red, the black, and the pale. And I don't think it's fair that they have white and pale, which is almost the same thing.
It's true.
The white is supposed to be evil or pestilence.
Okay.
Red is war.
Okay.
Black is famine.
Uh-huh.
And pale is death or plague.
I'm going to go with pale.
You like pale?
Yeah.
Death or plague?
I mean, death or plague. Yeah, I'm going to go with pale. I think I didn't know that the horsemen of the apocalypse had a color to them.
They have a color, and they have an agenda. But
the agenda is to bring about.
Yeah.
Or not to bring about, but to kind of Paul Revere it, to let people know.
No, they bring it. They spread it. Like Johnny Appleseed it.
Okay.
And then, but also, interesting fact, it's not the horses. The horses are just the carriers. They have nothing to do with anything. So the horses don't do any damage. It's the riders that are the problem.
I would think in 2010, they would kind of be like the four, Toyota Corolla drivers of the apocalypse or something a little. Or how about the four Segway riders of the apocalypse?
They should.
Because the Segway is end of days material right there. When I see people riding around on Segway, I don't care if it's at a theme park. I don't care if it's, for some kind of mall. I feel like that's end of days for me personally. That's my personal end of days, is people riding the Segway.
Okay, so to the Bible Belt people, let's consider changing up the horses for a Segway.
Yeah.
And
or at least a foreign car, because they hate those.
And switching up the colors, maybe an azure.
Okay, I like it. Fuchsia.
Fuchsia and chartreuse.
But I think we should still keep pale.
Pale, all right. Yeah, pale is good.
It's not a color, but I think it does, basically what a color does in terms of how to describe the four Segway riders of the apocalypse.
Good. Do you have a joke?
I do. Go ahead with your joke.
All right. There was a seminar on the sex and the supernatural. The speaker invited discussion and said, hey, has anyone here ever had sex with a ghost? And a guy said,
I love this joke.
I have. He said, you, sir, you had sex with a ghost? And he said, oh, I thought you said goat.
I like that joke. I had a longer version of that joke where the for some bizarre reason, it's a lecture room full of college students, but one redneck.
And the redneck, of course, is the one
who comes forward to tell them how he had sexual congress with a goat. One wonders how the redneck got into that seminar.
He was probably wearing a flannel
shirt. He was probably wearing a flannel.
Right. He's in college. Yeah. How did he get there?
I don't know. Maybe it's like one of those 80s movies where somehow he gets in and then, everyone starts wearing flannel shirts and they love him. And he's like Kenny the Redneck, Remember what happened on the first day of class with the whole goat ghost thing?
Yeah, but this takes us to what happens after the joke. What happened afterwards to this?
Wow, I hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, what happens after? Because it's all fun and games during the joke,
But when the laughter ends.
When the laughter ends.
What happens to Kenny standing there?
So is this in a college lecture?
It can be in a college. It's a room full of people. I think it's a lecture.
About the paranormal.
I think it's a symposium.
Okay. Well, this changes things.
Yeah, but anyway, here we are with a room full of people and the one man standing saying, admitting to sex with a goat. What happens now?
Wow, I would think the first thing that happened would be that type of a situation. And a lot of people being like, what the? I can't believe it. That type of thing. And then maybe he would realize the mistake he made and just leg it.
Books out of there.
Yeah.
Well, I have that there's silence, much like you.
Okay.
And then everyone starts doing the 80s slow clap of approval, just like you were saying.
Ooh, right? I like it.
And then he posts it on his Facebook page.
Because he's a goat-king narcissist.
Yeah. And then afterwards, people are reading his Facebook page, and then they start posting that they like to have sex with goats too.
And then a Facebook page develops around that. It's like goatsex.com.
Right. But not all people
That's copywritten, people. Goatsex.com. Don't even try it.
But the thing is, people don't really have sex with goats, but they're trying to fit in, just like...
Oh, you know, maybe the sex with goats is a metaphor. I don't know what it would be for.
Yeah.
But I think maybe it's not actual congress with a goat, but it's a facsimile of it. And they're trying to make a statement about sexuality with that. How embarrassing, though. How embarrassing. I guess the moral of this joke is, like, you know, don't volunteer information about yourself in a seminar. If you think you hear, you know, a certain word and it's not the right word, you can be very embarrassed.
Yes. Clarify. It's okay to ask. Did you say goat or ghost?
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is really, I mean, the seminar was about the paranormal. It wasn't about barnyard hoo-ha.
See, that goes to show when you have something on your mind, you start filtering all of that through your own point of view. So all he gets thinking about is goats.
And when can he get the next goat? Could have been like in the audience of like a Rachel Ray show, and he would have shouted out the same. They're like, who here has had this kind of flan before that I'm going to make in 5 minutes with one ingredient? I've had sex with a goat. That kind of thing.
Exactly.
Stop thinking about it.
Yeah. So do you have...
I have a joke also. I had that joke as well, which is kind of funny. The version I had was a lot longer, and I guess it's, you know, if you had 20 minutes.
So we have advice... on advice. This is the segment where we read some advice somebody gave, and then we give advice on what they should have said.
Yeah, and how they should have said it, frankly, because there are a lot of people out there just giving advice wantonly.
Sometimes it's not even asked for.
No, they just volunteer it. This advice is given by, I won't say the name of the person, but it's from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And it's about how to rid your home of a ghost.
Okay.
So someone writes in, they have a ghost or an unseen visitor, and they want to know what to do. Now, first of all, they advise not to pay anyone to get rid of the ghost. Don't pay for a service that's being provided for you. That way you're sure to get a better service. This is the first problem with the advice. The second part of the advice is they tell you to get a natural fiber sweeping broom. The kind that you use to sweep the house with. 2010. Could they not use a Dyson ball? Apparently not. So you start away from your door and you sweep. And as you're sweeping, you say, "We don't want you here. You must leave. You cannot return. Out, out, out." Repeat this like a mantra, and it's okay to say it in any language. And then when that's done, you have to light a single tea light from 1980.
From 1980.
You know these things, the tea lights that became very popular in the suburbs. So you light one of those, and you say, "I light this flame of protection to cleanse my home." Right? Then you tell the ghost that this is your home. Yeah, because they think it's their home, I guess. And then tell them that you live there. And then, and this is the only part of the advice that I like, they say, "Invite some friends over for a tea or a drink afterwards."
But then...
to let the ghost know that you're not playing around.
Really? So... you have to address the ghost. Now, I had read that if you not talk to the ghost, then they get bored and go away.
Ignore the ghost?
Yeah.
I guess you could try that. But
all right, well, with this, what do you think they should have said?
Well, first of all, a natural broom, like as I mentioned,
nobody's
going to have that anymore. I mean, good luck going to your local hardware store or superstore and finding a natural broom from the colonial period. The other part is they didn't specify the type of ghost. For example, is the ghost a sentient spirit? Is it a doppelganger? Is it a living person? Is it haunting for no reason? Is it a crisis apparition? What's going on? Yeah. So what I don't like about this advice is it wasn't specific enough about the ghost, but it was too specific about the broom. I mean, you didn't read this, but it's like, you know, it's six paragraphs. Three are about the freaking broom.
You're right, because if it's all those different kinds of ghosts, it's like different kinds of people. The same phrase is going to work. You can't get rid of a person saying the same thing. People react differently. Like,
exactly.
The ghosts are going to react differently.
I imagine that the ghost would be the same. Like, some get out, they're gonna be like, "Screw you."
Yeah.
And then what? Is there a suggestion for a comeback if you have a ghost that's particularly quick with a witty repartee? What do you do? So I'm gonna say that this advice, which I found on pararesearchers.org, stinks, frankly.
Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Okay. Oh, I think it's time that we go to a celebrity corner.
Okay, celebrity corner. So
you got
this was a tough one because I wanted to get some, you know, I wanted to stay on the topic of the supernatural or the paranormal.
We're talking about discount celebrities here.
Yeah, we're talking about celebrities that don't measure up to other celebrities but are being used because, frankly, they're cheaper. And this week, I didn't do that good of a job because I came up with Michael Cera, who I absolutely adore, and Jesse Eisenberg, who I just saw in the movie with Woody Harrelson.
I love the both of them. They're wonderful.
Kids. They're in their 20s. They're legal.
All right. They're wonderful legal adults.
So both of them are, you know, in their 20s. They're both around 5'9", 5'10", and they've done a variety of films. I like Michael Cera because, you know, Arrested Development, and he's just hilarious. And he's Canadian, which is also a good thing. On the other hand, Jesse Eisenberg is Jewish. And you know I love that.
Yeah.
And he's a little bit edgier, I think. He's got a little more hair. He is a little more serious looking, and he's in a lot of more cutting edge films. He was in a film where he played a Hasidic ecstasy dealing kind of madman.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see.
You think these things don't go together, Hasidim, ecstasy, drug dealing, but apparently it does.
I feel in their evolution as performers and as people, they are in their John Cusack years pre-Say Anything. Okay. The movies Say Anything.
Like, I hope they don't go in the same direction as John Cusack, though. He did that weird film about the haunted hotel room.
Oh, yeah.
That no one should go in. And then people check in, and then it's cold in the room, basically.
It's not the air conditioning?
It's not the air conditioning. It's paranormal.
Yeah, well, we could use a ghost in here right now because it's kind of warm in this.
Yeah, it is getting warm in this room. So if there are any poltergeists out there who bring fresh air, they could. Yeah. For Michael Cera, who I love, and then Jesse Eisenberg, who did Zombieland, and is coming out with Zombieland 2, I am going to say, and this was a tough one for me, that Jesse Eisenberg is serving Michael Cera at only a 2% discount.
2%?
Yeah, only at a 2% discount. I had a very hard time trying to figure out which one of them was greater than the other, and they're almost equal. They're almost equal.
Wow.
Really? You disagree?
No, I think Jesse's got a little way to go before he hits Sarah's. I think it's a little more. I think it's more of a 20%.
Really? Yeah. You know, he auditioned for the role of the girl in The Sixth Sense, the one where they see dead people.
The girl?
Well, I guess it was gender nonspecific at the time, but they decided to go with a girl for the role.
At first they did, and then after he auditioned,
they were like, let's get a girl. So, I don't know. And also, Zombieland 2 has not come out. He's also in the Facebook movie. What's it called? The Social Network or something like that. And where he plays the guy who started Facebook, who seems like a douche.
Yeah. But, see? A narcissist.
A narcissist. Right there.
Narcissist playing narcissist.
Full circle.
Yeah.
All right. So, what do you got?
I got Emma Stone for Lindsay Lohan.
So Emma Stone is not the girl in the 20 Harry Potter movies, right?
No, she's not. She was in Superbad.
Okay.
And House Bunny.
With Superbad, Michael Cera.
And Zombieland with
Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. You know, she has that red hair, but she was
really, she does?
She has red hair, but she was a blonde. She's a natural blonde who dyes her hair brown or red.
That's scandalous.
It is. You know how much people pay for blonde hair. I could tell you. But she's a nice kid.
Okay.
With a smile.
She looks a little Angelina Jolie. Like, I wouldn't trust her around my man.
I would.
You would?
I would.
Okay.
She can walk around. Are you kind of shaded because of her her movie that she's coming out?
Yeah, which is supposed to be The Scarlet Letter.
Yeah, and she plays like a modern day Hester Prynne.
Yeah, term modern day Hester Prynne can exist, but I see what you're saying.
I think that's what's influencing you. But
Lindsay Lohan, I mean, does she still have a career?
That's also the thing. I think right now, Lindsay Lohan does have a little bit of a career, but she is on her way out,
and so we need a new Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah, so Emma Stone's going to eclipse her. pretty soon.
I think she may have done that already.
And then Lindsay Lohan will be the discount Emma Stone.
Nice. And so when Lindsay Lohan comes out the other side of Disgrace, how much cheaper is she going to be than Emma Stone?
You can get her for 75% less. 75.
Wow.
Yeah, discount rack, Macy's.
So Lindsay Lohan, in the future, this is a prediction, will be serving Emma Stone at a 75% discount?
That's right.
Wow. Sorry, yeah. Lindsay. Yeah. Can they hear this in jail?
If they listen hard enough.
If they listen hard. Maybe we should have it put on our fingernail so she can see it. You're 75% of Miss Emma Stone, young lady. Or not so young lady anymore. Yeah. Not so young. If we were to meet Emma Stone or Lindsay Lohan on the streets. I don't know if Lindsay Lohan is back on the streets again, but let's imagine she's on the lam and you run into Lindsay Lohan. Do you think she would be dastardly or disarming?
I think that's pretty much, I mean, that goes without saying she'd be dastardly.
Mm-hmm. Can you be specific about that?
Well, she very much is, her brain cells are pretty much destroyed at this point.
Okay.
And so she's not going to be functioning at a normal human level. She might even be almost like a zombie.
So she would be like a Hollywood crackhead zombie.
Yeah.
Or pea zombie.
Or pea zombie, yeah.
Pea zombie is a philosophical zombie. They act like normal people, but there's no one home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You may know some in your life, and you don't even know that they're pea zombies, but they are. But nobody knows where they came from.
Yeah. Or where they will go
when
they're finished. So Lindsay Lohan, pea zombie, dastardly.
Yes.
All right, what about Emma Stone?
Well, Emma Stone, no. I want to hear about you meeting your people, Michael, Sarah, and Jesse Eisenberg. Who would you meet?
I love Michael, Sarah. I think he's hilarious and cute, but maybe not in person. I don't know. There's TV cute, and then there's cute up and personal on the street. And I think he'd be really nice, but I think it would be difficult to have a conversation with him.
I feel the same thing because you start talking to him and then he gets too embarrassed.
Yeah.
And then you come off as a creep.
Yep.
That's exactly.
Jesse Eisenberg, he seems like every guy I went to Jewish Quaker summer camp with. So I think we could probably kick it, you know, hang out and talk about what's wrong in the world and then part our separate ways, having not exchanged emails or Facebook addresses or anything like that.
Yeah, disarming but boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a party, you know. No. I don't see a party happening there.
So don't waste your time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Don't waste your time. If you see Jesse Eisenberg, don't bother. He's not going to engage you in the way that...
Avoid Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
Don't look her in the eye.
And hold on to your purse when you see her. I feel like she might try to mac on you, but she'd just be pretending. And then you would realize that your fake Prada bag that you bought on Canal Street, gone.
For everyone who can't see us, I'm nodding my head yes. She's saying that.
I want
a final rant.
Okay. For our final rant, we want to talk about the paranormal and the supernatural in films. Personally, I am sick of all these zombie movies out there. I think there's way too many of them. Sometimes the zombies are slow. Sometimes the zombies are fast. There's all different genres, but I don't think they reflect what's really going on today. I have an idea for a movie. It's called Ku Klux Zombie. Because I think that's where things are going right now. It's about a bunch of black women. They rent a cabin down in Macon, Georgia. They wake up in the morning. They see what they think is a simple Ku Klux Klan member in hood. Maybe he's a grand wizard. Maybe he's just a regular foot soldier. Who knows? And they pull off the mask, and guess what? It's a zombie. So then we get to see the rest of the film that these black women go around killing Ku Klux zombies. Ku Klux Zombies.
I like it.
Yeah, and I think that's where the paranormal needs to go. The paranormal needs to go into films and address social issues of today.
And I've got something to say about the vampires. I love it. I think they're hot. I think they're sexy. However, there's too many different stories about vampires, and they keep changing up the rules. Some can go in the sun, some can't. Some can fly, some, you know, are ugly. And I can't keep up with all the changes. It makes me sullen on my couch watching these different programs. And
wait, where are the fat vampire movies? That's what I'm saying. These vampire movies are not giving everyone equal access to the genre.
Yeah, because apparently the rule is whatever you were when you turned into a vampire, that's the way you stay. So there was one fat vampire in True Blood.
Okay.
That was it.
That was it?
Yeah.
That's a travesty.
Stick with the rules. Stop playing games. I have limited mind space.
And I want to say for people who are doing zombie movies, break the rules. Bring race and class into it. So, Ku Klux Zombie out in the theater near you.
Zombies break the rules. Vampires stay with the rules.
Yeah. Final word. Thanks very much for listening to our podcast on the paranormal or
supernatural.
The supernatural.
And thanks to Cinema Cinema for their music.
Yay.
Kim Audio. And to all of you listeners.
Yeah. We are now all over the place. We're on Twitter. At Hey You Know It, one word. We are on Facebook at Hey You Know It. And we're on iTunes if you type in Hey You Know It, or if you type in either of our names, if you can spell them. And you can always contact us at our email.
And just heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
All right, have a good rest of the day. We're going to be on a brief hiatus until October. And thanks very much.